Welcome to The Sober Effect, a show that looks at the positives of sobriety, the dangers of alcohol, and the many people who are affected by it. I'm Kate.
And I'm Steph. The ripple effect of alcohol is far-reaching, and those are the stories you'll hear on The Sober Effect. So, I'm excited about today's episode. It's a little different. We have to start with that. It is
you can say that.
From our normal format. So first and foremost, everyone be aware of that. We are doing a episode about hypnosis, and there will be two small hypnosis sessions within this episode. So be aware of that if you're driving or you're at work. But it's exciting because this is something that is kind of like a tool, small little tool that our listeners can use themselves. If they've never done hypnosis before, it's a great way to kind of experiment with it to see how it feels within their body and their mind. But also it's kind of nice for something like, say you need 10 minutes of just escape or you're feeling stressed, because we do focus on stress in one of them. So it's kind of like a fun way for us to have an episode that's also like a really good tool for people.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm definitely going to listen back to this. It is a different episode and there's a lot of empty space because you've got to sit there and close your eyes and listen to her speak. So it is, you're right for pointing that out. It's not our usual episode. So if you're expecting a fast-paced chat about sobriety, click on to the next one or the previous one. But I love this because we're kind of thinking outside the box and we're giving away a tool that a lot of the time you have to pay for this stuff. So it's one for a comfortable time and for a bit of reflection and to try something new. Because if you're like me, I have never done anything like this. I didn't know anything about it, but you have, haven't you? You've done this and you've done this with Erica, which is why she's on the show.
Yes. Yeah. Our guest Erica today, I did a 4-week session with her. It was amazing, but that's not the first time that I've done hypnosis. I did do hypnosis before I got sober, and it was nothing to do with sobriety at that time. As a lot of people know in my story, I suffered with anxiety. And so I went to a hypnotist to help me with that, with my anxiety, which I still to this day swear led to my sobriety. Like, I still feel like it got into my subconscious and ignited something that made me come to the conclusion that, hey, maybe alcohol's the problem. So it's a very powerful tool, but like Erica will explain, it is a process that you have to be willing, I guess is the best way to put it. I remember a story my mom used to tell me, my dad and his mom, heavy smokers, and my mom took them to do hypnosis to quit smoking. Now, neither of them really wanted to quit smoking, but they did this because everyone in the family was like, you guys need to quit smoking. And my mom said, they walked in, they did the hypnosis, they both walked out and like lit up a cigarette. Like, it didn't work. But they didn't want it to work. So, I mean, that's a good example. People sometimes, I think, worry that like hypnosis is going to make you cluck like a chicken or like this person can
like brainwash you.
Yeah.
Like it's not that powerful, is it? Mm-hmm. No.
It's tapping into an inner desire. Like if you really are struggling with a habit, which is what she helps people with, or you're really struggling with stress, you know, you get caught up in this narrative in your brain all the time that you know you want to let go of, she can help you with that. And it's amazing. Like it's helped me so much with some of these inner voices that I have, and I can catch them now and correct them. And it's really cool stuff when you think about it. Like our brains are really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're really into all of these kind of like what are they called? I mean, I don't really like the word like alternative, because it's not an alternative health. I mean, I guess it is when you say you've got your GP and anything else is alternative, but it's actually incredibly relaxing. And when someone says, no, I'm just going to talk to you for 5 minutes, and you think, I've got the permission to just sit here and listen to someone's voice. And she's got a very soothing voice. That's another difference of this episode. You listen to her and you think, oh, I'm in a bit of a, you know, like the snake from the Jungle Book. It's very much like that. But actually being given permission to just do nothing is quite incredible in itself, because we don't ever do that. So fascinating. I love it. I'm loving all this stuff you're bringing to the podcast that I would never have looked into without you. So keep it coming, Steph.
Yeah, I'll keep all my, I don't know if I want to call it holistic, but for me, it comes from a place of not always wanting to medicate. I've had a really hard time with medication all through my life. And I think as a society, we all just kind of want to take a pill and feel better. And I would think in the sober community, there's a lot of that type of mentality because we were all just drinking to feel better. Like we're always looking for a quick fix. And I think what's fun about this is exploring a way to help yourself that isn't going to have any weird side effects. It doesn't require remembering to take something every day. And it's just retraining your brain to stop sabotaging you. Because really, we sabotage ourselves a lot throughout the day, subconsciously, without even realizing that that narrative's going on all day. And we can actually fix that. It is fixable. I think sometimes we think, well, that's just who I am, or that's just how it's going to always be. And it's really empowering. And it's, I don't know, it gives you hope, you know, that you can, you do have control of your thought.
And who wouldn't want to change for the better? If you're offered a chance to look into a tool like this, give it a go. Because the worst that can happen is that you sat there quietly with your eyes closed for 5 minutes and you say, it's not for me. It's not exactly a disaster, is it?
Correct. Let's meet Erica.
It's out of my scope of practice to diagnose or treat addictions, and alcohol would be one of them. So I just want to sort of say that from the outset, you know, if you do have problems, that you would have to go to your medical doctor.
So Erica, let's just start with, because I really am an amateur when it comes to this, which is why I'm really excited about having you on. But if you could just explain for me and for everyone listening, what is hypnosis?
Good question. So when you're under hypnosis, you are in a very relaxed state. We can give suggestions for positive behavior changes. So many people think that if you go under hypnosis, you're going to end up, I hear this all the time, clucking like a chicken or making a fool of yourself. It is not that. You've seen a stage show with people doing that. They have to be willing to do that. So it's not something that I can make you do that you don't want to do. It happens every single day. And all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So the hypnotist, like myself, I can be a facilitator or a guide, but it really needs a buy-in from the person and a willingness to follow along.
So why would someone want hypnosis then?
Yeah. So our biggest clients, they come for stress release, they come for stop smoking, and they come for weight loss. Those are our three most popular topics. But we can also work with forgiveness of the past, and we can work with letting go of old self-images and changing behaviors. And, you know, with such a busy world, many people are just struggling so much with stress, and it can really affect our whole life.
Obviously, you know, our podcast deals with sobriety, but giving up alcohol is almost like the first step. Most people, once they give up, they realize there's a reason that they were drinking a lot. And actually, your emotions become much more raw and you have to face up to things. And actually, some of the things you've mentioned, I would imagine, are the kind of things that people are having to deal with because they aren't drinking because they're so stressed or unhappy at work. And then they have to face those things. They have to face past traumas. And I understand that you're not there to kind of cure things. This episode isn't specifically about giving up drinking. These things all have a habit of holding hands with each other, don't they? And actually, it's about your mindset, really. Is that right? It's about just sort of letting go and being honest with yourself.
Yeah. So we have, all of us as humans, we have four regular coping patterns with stressful times. One of them is to be a blamer. So you're blaming everything else around you, blaming your work, it's too stressful, or blaming your staff for getting you mad. One of them is a placator. So you might be looking after your whole family and not looking after yourself. That's one. Or you might be placating yourself. So you might be like, oh man, I had such a hard day. I deserve this chocolate cake now. So that's self-placating. Another one is being like a computer. So just thinking, overanalyzing all the time, reading another book, another book, another book, looking up things on the internet. And that can really keep you stuck. I mean, it's good to get information, but if it's keeping you stuck in a pattern, then it's not a good pattern. And then the fourth one is distractor. So that can be scrolling on social media or distracting yourself by watching TV. And then it sounds to me like, you know, if you're using alcohol as a crutch, that could be under the distractor. So you're just trying to distract yourself from your problems and just, you know, put it off till later or never want to address it. So you're just distracting yourself. You're getting distracted by that, right? Yeah. And it could be being distracted by foods or other things as well.
I just finished up, just so the listeners know, I just finished up 4 weeks with Erica. And, you know, I've been 2 years sober and there is so much, like we've talked about it, Kate and I've talked about it in different episodes and things going on. But it strips you down when you're using alcohol or for some people it's food or whatever it may be to like distract or numb or avoid having to deal with life. When you take that away, you have to be ready to deal with life. And I just want to insert this real quick while I'm talking about my experience. It was amazing. It switched something in me. Like we always talk about that inner voice in our head, or some people called it the wine witch that would be like popping up saying, hey, it's time to have a drink. Like you're saying, you deserve it. You had a hard day or whatever. It softens that voice. Like there's a new voice that kind of takes over. There's a new voice that catches that one and says, no. What else can we do? And so I just wanted to like insert that into this part of the conversation.
Yeah. And I should just explain a little bit more about that experience. So you may have heard we have a duality of our mind. So we have our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. Now, our conscious mind deals with all of our thoughts and all of our feelings, and it takes in all the information from our external sources. Our subconscious mind really runs all of our automatic processes, like our breathing and our heart rate. It also stores all of our experiences and all of our feelings from the past. The patterns that we've used in the past that started off conscious and became so automatic. Let's say walking. So walking, when we learn to walk, we have to think about it. And then all of a sudden, we don't have to think about it anymore. So that's gone, sunk into our subconscious mind. The same thing happens when we start a new habit. So whether, you know, it's smoking, we didn't start out smoking and loving it. A smoker has consciously made an effort to keep continuing this behavior. And just even though the body's rejecting it, it feels disgusting, your body doesn't like it, it's a poison. We continued as a smoker to just keep going and going and going. And then it became automatic. A smoker has hypnotized themselves into enjoying that. And you could probably say that about alcohol too, or even drinking coffee. Do you remember the first time you tried coffee? Disgusting. But what we did was we added sugar to it. We made it really creamy, you know, made it palatable, and you got used to it. And then it just became like an automatic thing, reaching for a coffee in the morning. So it's every single habit that we have. And then every thought that we have as well. We have to be aware of our thoughts. If we're constantly saying like, I'm no good, or I'm really fat, or, you know, that negative self-talk, that sinks into our subconscious mind. And then our subconscious mind doesn't have any critical thinking to it. So if you're saying, hey, I'm fat all the time, it's just going to be like, hey, she's fat, right? Subconscious mind is like a computer. So if you're giving it that programming, it's just going to follow orders.
That is really interesting. So if I wake up and say, you are beautiful, you are kind, you are smart, then eventually if I do that every day for a month and 2 months and 3 months, something inside me will start, unless I'm laughing while I'm saying it and, you know, going, this is ridiculous. Do you think eventually those kind of that self-talk will start to sink in? Is that why people sort of say do something like that positive in the morning?
They say about, you know, being gracious and having gratitude. The more you practice something, the more aware you become of it. So let me just use a different story to highlight that. Let's say you find out that you need new tires for your car, and all of a sudden you're looking for a tire shop. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a tire shop. Oh, hang on, there's a tire shop too. Hey, I didn't even know they were always there, those tire shops. You might have driven past them all the time, every single day, but they weren't in your awareness until you start consciously focusing on it. So the same thing, if you're looking for gratitude and things that you're grateful for, if you consciously do that every single day, you'll start looking around and noticing more. Does that make sense?
It really does, doesn't it, Steph? She's basically explained what we talk about all the time, and I would have never really understood what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's so much information that we're just getting bombarded with every day, thousands and thousands of pieces of information, and there is a filter. So we can't possibly take in all that information, you know, that those tire shops were always there. Those things that are great in our life, they're always there. But if we're not consciously focusing on them or looking out for them, then we're just going to drive on by. So the conscious mind, I mean, we're walking around. You guys have talked about the negative self-talk. We're almost like walking around with this little dialogue going on in our heads. That's about 90% of our day. But we're just distracting from our bodies. We're distracting by watching TV, we're distracting by eating behaviors, we're distracting by, you know, when we're stressed at work and we go home and we retell the story and retell the story and retell the story, we're getting stuck in that pattern, we're getting stuck in those feelings, and we're not really addressing or moving forward from that. So we can stay stuck in those feelings for days and days, for years and years. With stress, you know, the things that we think about have a really actual physical reaction. So just think about watching a sad movie and then becoming sad, right? It's an imaginary thing, but it's having a real physical effect on us. And just think about a happy movie as well, just laughing along. So we're getting drawn into the emotions. We are susceptible to those things. And that's basically hypnosis happening, okay? When you're driving your car and you wonder how you just came 10 blocks and you can barely really remember because you were daydreaming. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Steph has asked me that before. She said, you know, when you're driving and suddenly miles have gone by and you haven't noticed. I'm like, no. Surely that is incredibly dangerous. She's like, no, you're completely aware. That's what you were talking about. And yeah. Steph did actually explain it to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that happens all the time.
That's like a trend, right? And then when you're watching TV and you're kind of just staring at the screen and you're not really watching, that's trance as well. So just trying to highlight that hypnosis just happens every day. When you're watching TV like that, that's when you're really susceptible because you're really relaxed and suggestible. And that's why commercials really hit. And that's why if you hear the song or theme tune of a commercial, you know it straight away because it's been inputted into your mind when you're in this relaxed, suggestible state. In hypnosis, we can take advantage of that relax. We put you in a nice, relaxed state and we can help with behavior change. So our subconscious mind really responds to pictures and not just words. So when we go into hypnosis, I like to make sure that all of your senses are involved in these pictures, and it can really have a physical reaction. If you would like, I could do a little example of that for you.
Yeah, I'd love to. Let me put this on mute. I'm expecting to go into a trance.
Okay, so I'm going to just demonstrate the mind-body connection with you. And just remember, like I said, hypnosis happens every single day. Whatever you experience is right for you. What I would ask is that you never would do this while driving a car or operating machinery. And just make sure that you're in a comfortable, safe space. And you just keep an open mind. And if nothing happens, then it's fine because you've had a nice 2-minute relaxation. Okay? So just take a nice deep breath in. And out. And one more time, a nice deep breath in, just breathing in relaxation. and breathing out any stresses or worries that you may have. Good. And just one more time. Good. That's right. I just want you to imagine that you're in your kitchen and try and use all of your senses. And if you're able to see, just imagine you're seeing things in bright color. Just look around the room, noticing the countertop, noticing all of the appliances in the room. And cast your eyes over to the fridge. And as you walk over to the fridge, just place one hand on the handle, just noticing the color and the texture of the handle. Noticing if it's even cold to the touch. And as you open the door of the fridge, have a look inside. You may even feel a rush of cold air greeting you. And as you look into the fridge, just noticing things that are in there, reach in with one hand and grab a lemon that's in there, taking it out of the fridge and just close the door. Now, go ahead and look at that lemon. Just try and notice the colors, the bright yellow. Notice if there's any discoloration or dimples on the skin. Notice if it feels cold to the touch. That's right. Go ahead and grab a cutting board and a sharp knife and place the lemon on the cutting board. And with the sharp knife, just carefully cut that lemon in half. And just really try and notice if there's any juices that come out onto the cutting board. Notice if there's any pips or seeds inside. And notice the texture of the lemon. Notice if there's any smell. And go ahead and cut one of those halves. Cut a little wedge out of it. And with the wedge, just bring it up to your nose and take a deep breath in, noticing if you can smell the lemon. Notice its acidy taste, fresh, citrus smell. And as you bring it to your lips, take a little bite out of it and see if you can taste that lemony taste. Good. Go ahead and just flutter your eyes open. And just if you can let me know if you could see or feel or smell or taste. Now, some people are better at visualizing. Some people are really kinesthetic person, so they can really feel and taste. Could you let me know if you had any experience there?
I did, yeah. My mouth watered, like the bitterness from the lemon.
That's right. So often I can see a client swallow, or I can even see them pucker up when they give it a taste. And the real reason that I wanted to demonstrate that is the mind-body connection. So our mind did not know that the lemon was imaginary, but we still had a real physical response to that. Now, don't worry if you didn't have that.
I didn't taste it. But I could feel it and see it very clearly.
Right.
So for me, it was a much more visual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wanted you to carry on. It was so relaxing, almost to be given permission to listen to a simple story. It was almost like digesting such small amounts of information cleared everything else, because I wasn't focusing on the mess in the fridge. Someone's left the lid off that again. Look, someone spilled that. It was like, only focus on that. And it was really calming, actually.
Well, and sometimes our minds may wander, and that's totally normal. But if that ever happens, you would just bring it back to my voice and bring it back to the senses that you're seeing or feeling or hearing. And so in hypnosis, because I've just proven that there's a mind-body connection, and our mind didn't know that that lemon was imaginary, we'll just imagine when we're stressed or when we're thinking of the future and we're creating stories in our minds, it's having a real physical effect on our body. And when we think of the past and overthink it and analyze it, it's having the same effect on our body as if it's happening right now, even though some of the things might have happened 10 or 20 years ago. But the physical responses are in the here and now. And just with stress, for example, those feelings, if we're feeling them 24/7, they have a real detrimental effect on our body and our health. So just think of it as the, you know, that story, sad story of the frog that's in the pot. And if you gently heat up that pot, the frog's not going to jump out because it's happening slowly, 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 slowly. So he's not aware that he's slowly getting boiled. So it's the same with stress. It just happens so slowly, slowly, slowly. And then we get used to that feeling, the feelings of getting headaches or migraines or getting stomach aches and stomach issues. And we just accept it as something that's normal for me, but it's not normal, right? So in hypnosis, we can really work on letting go of the past, because that's what it is. It's in the past. And we can imagine visualizing positive futures with positive behavior changes in there. And we use those images to really make it real, because our subconscious mind, like I just demonstrated, does not know the difference between something that was imagined or something that's real.
And it's actually something that's really helped me as someone who's always worried about the future, created like worst case scenarios, because that was a coping mechanism for me that I learned from generations of women in my family doing the same thing. Like, it was a very bad habit that was ingrained in me. And the reason behind it was clearly because we thought that that meant we were prepared, right? Like, if we can think of the worst case scenario and how we would handle the worst case scenario, we're prepared. It's a fear-based thing. But like you said, that causes so much stress, and those things never happen. So yeah, my body was reacting as if it did happen. And so I'm every time, you know, weekly, I'm putting myself in these scenarios and putting my body through this stress for things that never happen.
Absolutely. And so many people do that. And it's part of our wiring, our brain, to, if we don't have all the information, we create the information. And we fill in the blanks, and we tend to fill it negatively. But again, when we're doing that, it's coming from a fear perspective. And then just remembering at the end of the day, these things that actually happen in our lives, they're not the ones you've prepared for. They're going to blindside you on a Tuesday night, right?
Yeah. We can't actually control or predict the future. We can try, and I do that as well. And I think, well, if I can handle the worst case scenario, then anything that comes my way will be better than that. But you're right, Steph. You're then constantly living these scenarios out in your head. And that's actually not a very healthy thing to do. But it's funny, when you were doing the lemon thing, it made me think of looking at negative space. And I don't know why that came into my mind, but it's like when you look at drawings or paintings and in art at school, and they would sort of say, look at the negative spaces rather than focusing on the things you've always been focusing on. And actually, it's quite interesting, because when you started talking again, and I was still thinking about lemons, you almost become a bit more selective. And I don't know whether this is going anywhere. I'm just sort of saying how I'm feeling about what you're then going to focus on. When you strip all the other stuff away and you take a step back and you look at the kind of the other things and you come back in and you're more conscious, I guess, you can then realize, wow, I've got 500 things in here that don't need to be here. There's no need for them. Is that kind of part of the process? Because that's what I've just experienced.
Yeah. And in hypnosis, we want to look at the bigger picture, right? And understand that anything that's happened in the past, there's no such thing as mistakes. There's only learning. So with that sort of frame of mind of no mistakes, only learning, that we are more able to let go of the past and just accept it as something that you needed to go through to end up in the exact right spot as you are now. And then when we're overthinking about the future, well, there's skills for us to look back on our past and think of all of the adversity that we've gone through. And realizing that, hey, it's always worked out for me. I do have these skills. I do have these resources. Whereas in the moment, it feels like I don't. But when you can remember that you've gone through these types of things before and you've been okay, then you can have a more positive outlook. Just imagine that our subconscious mind is throwing out often old programming. So maybe a coping mechanism from something that happened when we were young. Let's say, as an example, for stress, if you are someone who's reactive or defensive, often we find that something has happened in the past where when you were a child and you were in that situation of conflict, you didn't have all the skills and resources, or maybe you didn't have all the information that you needed at the time. So what you did was built this wall, this defensive wall, and you're still walking around with this defensive mechanism. So when anyone sort of questions you or in your mind might come across as criticism, well, these walls go up because that's what you did when you were 9 years old. And it's still running that old program. And that's a fear-based reaction, right? And maybe that's how you felt when you were 9. But now you're an adult. You've got way more resources. You've also got some perspective on what might have happened in the past. So we are able to just let go of that old programming and just have a new way of acting in the future. There's a little technique that I could do with you. In hypnosis, we like to think of things like, you know, there's no mistakes, there's only learning. And we also like to think of, well, geniuses can be modeled. All their behaviors can be modeled. So that anything that I don't have, any skills that I don't have at the moment, I can learn that. And that, again, opens up our perspectives and gets us out of the narrow focus, but also opens up opportunities for us. So with those two things in mind, this one's about modeling behavior. Okay, I'm going to do just a little technique with you. So just again, just make sure that you're not operating a car or any heavy machinery. Make sure that you're in a comfortable spot and safe and relaxed. And just remember, like I said before, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So anything that you feel today is right for you. So with that in mind, just take a deep breath in. Good. Focusing on our breath and deep breath out. That's right. And another deep breath in, just breathing in relaxation and anticipation and breathing out any thoughts that are in our head that are going around in circles. One more time. That's right. And breathing out. So I want you to just think about a behavior, a stress reaction that you have. A reaction to stress that you no longer want to deal with or to suffer from. Just visualize that behavior in your mind. See yourself in the past. Play that movie as if it's on the screen in front of you. Play it from start to finish. Watching yourself. Noticing any other people in the room. Seeing what you can see and just hearing what you can hear. Until you get to the end. That's right. Once you get to the end, we're going to rewind that movie now. Zip! Until you get to the start again. This time when you watch that movie of yourself, I want you to imagine that you take all of the colors out of the movie so that you're watching it this time in black and white. Watch the scenario from start to finish. Seeing everything this time in black and white. And when you get to the end, we're going to rewind that movie now. Zip. Good. Now this time when you play the movie, I want you to imagine it's only cartoon characters. Cartoon characters in place of you. Maybe even imagine that there's some silly music. Watch the scenario from start to finish. That's right. Noticing any emotions are just leaving the scenario. When you get to the end, we're going to rewind that movie now. Zip. Good. This time we're going to play the movie. Oh, the movie Bright. We're able to replace the movie. This time, as you replace the movie, you notice that it's a movie of the desired behavior. It could be the same situation, but the movie this time is the way that you want to react. Maybe you've seen someone that you know reacting in a different way, and you're using them as an example. Watch this movie, this new movie, from start to finish now. And when you get to the end, we're going to rewind this movie. Now, zip. Good. This time with our new movie, just imagine you have a remote control and you can turn up the color, making it really, really bright, really, really vivid. Turn up the color and watch this movie from start to finish now. Good. And now that we're at the end of the movie, we're going to rewind it. Now, zip. This time, with your remote control, you're going to turn up the volume and see if you can hear that movie even more clearer than before. Play that movie from start to finish now. Good. And when you get to the end, we're going to rewind it now. Zip. This time, I want you to just imagine, instead of watching the movie, you stand up out of your chair. You walk down the aisle of the theater that you're in, or room that you're in. You notice that there's three steps up to the screen. With anticipation, you take those three steps up. 1, 2, 3, until you're face to face with this large movie screen. Just imagine placing your hand on the screen, and you notice that your hand goes right through. You watch with excitement as your hand, your arm, your shoulder goes through that screen, feels really good. You step with one leg and then two legs into that screen, and you find yourself in the scenario. Just take a look around and see what you can see, noticing your new version of yourself in that screen. As you walk up to that new version of you, you can step right into their skin. Step right in and look around the room from your eyes. Hear the words that you'll hear in that situation. Notice the other people in the scenario. And as we play that new movie with you inside of it, just imagine taking in all of the senses of that new version of you. And play that movie now. Good. And we're just going to rewind it one more time. 3, 2, 1, zip. And we're going to just turn up the volume. We're going to turn up the contrast of all the colors, making them really rich and vibrant. We're going to feel all the feelings in our body. And we'll play this scenario one more time. Play it now. And as you get to the end of the movie, taking a deep breath in, feeling all of the feelings of calm, feelings of being proud at your new reaction, really, really breathe that in and enjoy that feeling, knowing that this is the new version of you. And just carefully take your ring finger of one hand and touch it to the thumb of that hand. And as you're feeling those emotions at their strongest, just press the ring finger to the thumb. Knowing that at any time, if you're in a stressful situation, you can touch your ring finger to your thumb. And it'll remind you of the feelings you're feeling in this moment. Good. And with that calm and anticipation and feelings of being proud, you're going to take them with you as you step out of the screen and move forward into your life. Having this new reaction to any stressful situations that come. And soon I'll count from 1 to 3. And when you get to the number 3, you'll be wide awake again and alert. 1, feeling proud and relaxed, knowing that you can use this feeling in any situation that comes. 2, wiggling those fingers and toes, ready to join us again. And 3, fluttering those eyes open, wide awake and alert. Good. So, how did you feel?
Good. Again, it's a very unique experience for me. I've never done anything like that before. It's just quite complex, isn't it? And also very simple, if that makes any sense.
It's important to also notice the other people in the scenario and realizing that they're just messy humans along with the rest of us. So what we can do if we're thinking of a situation that causes conflict is to bring ourselves, we're always in the first person. So we're experiencing life through our own eyes and through our own experiences. What we can do is just imagine sort of floating out of that first person perspective. And then floating into their body and then seeing us from their perspective and just thinking, I wonder how I'm coming across to them to make them react this way. It's really great to have those different perspectives to really get a full understanding of what is going on. Because when we get stuck in our head, we create the narrative and we create the story, and we often don't take responsibility for the things that we do or the way that we act.
I've got a question though, and maybe this is selfish, but I feel like I'm always putting myself in other people's situations. I'm very empathetic. I'm always thinking maybe they're being like this because of this. I'm making excuses for them. And I think that creates a lot of anger, and I hold on to a lot of stuff, but I find it very hard to just let it go because they're not willing to change. They're not willing to do these things. Do you get a lot of people who struggle with that? Because
yeah,
it's all good and fine to do work on yourself, and the things that you've spoken about are brilliant. And actually, I can see exactly how they work because I feel much calmer, and I've just never experienced anything like it. But when you do that, do you not get instantly frustrated that other people aren't willing to make the effort? Like, how do you deal with that when you're surrounded by so much noise and anger and chaos, and you've done some work and you think, I know where I am, I'm in a happy place, but you can't hide inside a cocoon, can you?
Other people sometimes are doing that, but we have to just focus on the things that we can control. Mm-hmm. And other people's reactions or actions, they are out with our control. So when we get really drawn into scenarios or drawn into reacting to other people, that keeps us stuck. Mm. So we need to see it from a different perspective, coming out of the sharp focus and just taking a wider view. And when we see it from a different perspective, and when we take it not so personally, we take that out of the equation, get a much different understanding. We need to make sure we have boundaries in place. And that's another thing that we can work on in hypnosis. I've given you some tools that are really simple. At any time you're feeling or before a stressful event might happen, just imagine yourself the way that you want it to roll out. Because if you do that, then it rewires your brain to think that there are other choices. To relax, what I like to do, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember blackboards at school, but what I imagine when my brain is just going over and over and over and I can't seem to switch off, I just imagine a blackboard that has a lot of stuff on it, and that represents my thoughts. And I imagine just taking a really wet cloth and just wiping it clean and seeing all of the water just dribble down and wiping all of those thoughts away. And just remembering that you don't have to deal with everything right now. You can wait till tomorrow.
What do you think, Kate? Like, I really want to hear from you because I know this is like your first time doing this. How do you feel?
Okay, to be honest, I loved the feeling of sitting there and having to stop. And I found it really interesting to see where my mind focused. At the same time, I was studying how I was responding to it because I've never done it. And actually, I think I'm going to go and do it again when I'm just on my own, because it was such a new and weird experience for me. I was almost, there were two voices in my head going, what are you doing? What's this? Is this going to work? What is she trying to get you to do? What are you meant to be thinking?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was just listening to her. So yeah, I thought I definitely want to do this again. And it's not at all what I thought. It was much more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be. I've never understood before, because I've always had this idea of like laying on a couch and someone talking to you with a watch and clicking it back and forth. Yeah. And then you kind of get out of it. And then you wake up and go, well, what have I told you about? What happened? And it wasn't like that. It's really interesting that it gets you to use tools that you've already got. And I love that. What about you? You've done this before.
So yeah.
You're kind of clued up. Have you done those exercises before with her, or are there loads of them?
There's so many. And it was very similar. When you do actually book in with her, it'll be more tailored towards whatever goal you're working on. So that's amazing. And it's a lot longer, which is even better because it's just so relaxing. But I want to comment on what you said about as you're in the hypnosis and you're like got two parts of your brain going and you're like, am I doing the right thing? Is she trying to manipulate me to do this? Like, That's so normal. And okay. I think it's actually part of the process, to be honest. There's a lot of times she walks you through a scenario and she'll ask you, you know, the first thing to come to mind. And whenever someone does that to me, and I'm sure you're going to relate just from what you said, whenever that happens to me, the first thing comes to mind, then something else. And I'm like, ooh, which one should I pick? You know? Yeah. And one of the last sessions that happened, because she wanted me to go back to a scenario in time. And I had the first one that came up, I thought, that's weird. Like, why would that one come up? And I was trying to search for something different. Nothing different really would come up. And then this voice came in and said, trust the process. Go with it. Go with that first one. It's telling of how much I don't trust my intuition. Like, that's what I learned actually more than anything from that session, was that I don't always trust that in myself. I'm always second guessing it. Is that the best option? And it was the best option, because as she walked me then through the scenario, it was a part of my past that I didn't realize needed some healing. And we were able to go back and heal that scenario that came up. I didn't realize that scenario was so profound, but there's a reason it was the first one that came up, right?
Yeah.
It was profound, but I was always obviously pushing that away. Like, oh no. Well, there it is right there. Like, I was never dealing with it and it needed to be dealt with. So it's just, I don't know if I explained that well enough, but.
You did. And it reminds me of our chat with Duncan. And it's like all that stuff is going to stay in there and it's still in there. We just become experts at pushing it down, on locking it behind a door. So maybe that thought, even though it seemed irrelevant and a waste of your session, because you're like, I don't want to discuss this. I want to discuss one of the big things. This is tiny, but there's a reason. And if you're really honest and you actually let the first thought come up to the forefront, discover it. And it's fascinating. It's learning about yourself. And it's weird because we walk around in our bodies with all this information floating around in our heads and we act a certain way and we say certain things and we're making constant judgments and decisions and all this kind of stuff in life. The sheer amount of information we have the capacity to retain in our heads is astronomical. It is so much. So finding these corners where we've hidden things is actually quite difficult. And I think tools like this, is there an opportunity that something like this could actually be very, very emotional and potentially traumatic? I mean, is that something that you would warn people about? Because you think it's going to be relaxing, but actually I could imagine from what you're saying, it could actually bring up lots of feelings that you've tried to suppress.
Yeah. I have cried through sessions before. So I guess be prepared for that. It's such a release. You know, it's not the ugly face cry. It's like the waterworks are just coming out. It feels like an emotional release. You know, you're still laying there very relaxed, but then your eyes are just releasing these tears. And it felt amazing that, you know, I'm finally letting go of something that clearly I was still holding on to. Thanks for tuning in. We're just two women from opposite sides of the pond striving to shed light on the negative impacts of alcohol. Quick heads up, we're not licensed therapists or doctors. If alcohol is seriously affecting your mental or physical health, seek professional help.
And don't forget to hit that follow button to catch all of our future episodes. If you think our podcast could make a difference to someone you know, share the love. And hey, leaving a 5-star review will really help the Sober Effect reach more fantastic people like you. So thank you.